Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to No Spoiler Reviews, the podcast for movie reviews with the surprises left in. If you ever felt like you've already seen the film by just reading a review or had the story spoiled by its trailers, then this is the podcast for you. In this episode, you'll find all the latest No Spoiler Reviews, including Lady Gaga and Adam Driver in House of Gucci, Oscar Isaacs in The Card Counter, Matt Damon and Adam Driver in The Last Duel, and William Friedkin's lost classic Sorcerer in its definitive Blu-ray edition. So if that's your kind of thing and you don't like knowing the ending before you start, then let's enter a world of style and sophistication where looking good could get you killed in Ridley Scott's House of Gucci. In 1978, Patrizia Reggiani, as played by Lady Gaga, is an Italian woman with real ambition in her eyes. When she bumps into the Italian royalty that is Adam Driver's Maurizio Gucci, she adamantly won't let go. Finally charming him into love, Maurizio subsequently introduces her to his father Rodolfo, as played by Jeremy Irons. However, Rodolfo isn't so smitten by Patrizia's energy. Sensing that she's only interested in Maurizio's money, Rodolfo threatens to cut him out of the family. Yet Maurizio still marries Patrizia, and in doing so discovers that the simple life and working for his father-in-law's trucking firm really does suit him. And the story should really stop there with everyone being happy. But no. Why? Because in the eyes of the ambitious Patrizia, where there's a pregnancy, there's always a way. So, coming off the heels of 2017's All the Money in the World, House of Gucci once again finds director Ridley Scott charting the murky histories of the rich and famous. Based upon Sarah Gay Forden's book The House of Gucci, a sensational story of murder, madness, glamour, and greed, Scott's latest certainly does contain all of the above ingredients. Lady Gaga kills it with an accent that could smash crockery, Adam Driver looks like an overlooked dapper mouse, and Jeremy Irons scythes into their plans with a single syllable. So what's not to love here? Well, in sporting a briskness of pace that was sadly missing from The Last Duel, there is one divisive piece of chalk to be found in this lavish piece of cheese. And that's Jared Leto's performance as Paolo Gucci. Flustering around inside a fat suit as an unwanted son of the family, Leto's Paolo either brings much-needed levity to the proceedings or a veritable death by ice cream. Eye-rolling at every available ceiling whilst channeling the vocal intonations of 1980s pop star Joe Dolce, you might want to shut up his face after a while. Fortunately, though, he's not alone. Stood beside all of his histrionics is the implacable Al Pacino as his father, Aldo Gucci, who is also a brother to Jeremy Irons' Rodolfo. All magnificent charm and salesman's patter, Pacino is the qualitative core of both the business and the movie. As a clear target for Gaga's scheming Patrizia to aim at, it's Aldo's gullibility that faithfully unlocks the final chapter of the movie. So, simply put, if you can weather Leto's tossed teacups and surrender yourself to the wholesale campness of a souffle done right, then Ridley Scott's latest movie truly does have something to offer you. As a further confirmation of a star being born, let's just say you'll safely be able to refer to the House of Gucci as the House of Gaga come Oscar time. So, if you'd like to see the House of Gucci now, you can rent it at either Amazon Prime, iTunes, or at most other online retailers. So having watched Lady Gaga single-handedly dismantle all the men around her, let's now indulge in some gambling with veteran director Paul Schrader and star Oscar Isaacs in their much underrated drama, The Card Counter. By betting low and winning slowly, William Tell is a gambler who is almost monastic in his approach. By choosing to never stay in hotel rooms and always covering every distraction with bedsheets, he is a man who has learnt to keep the world at bay. Or at least that's what he thought until he met a young Cirque Balfort. Angrily challenging him about his past, Cirque accuses William of being a military torturer. Similar to the one that his suicidal father used to be, Cirque now seeks revenge upon their former commanding officer as played by William Dafoe. However, Oscar Isaac's William doesn't want to be involved. Instead, William offers to take Cirque back on the road with him and show him a better way to deal with his past. Yet, in dramatically raising the stakes with another life to care for, can William maintain his own fragile recovery whilst helping Cirque address his? Well, in a film that professionally doesn't offer up its cards too easily, writer-director Paul Schrader quickly injects you into William's buttoned-down existence. Aided by another Oscar Isaac's masterclass in restraint, similar to 2014's The Most Violent Year, Isaac's William Tell is more than a man with a target on his head. That is because when you start winning, you draw attention, and William doesn't like that. Yet alongside him and aching like an open wound that's barely been patched up is Ty Sheridan's Cirque. Loose and disconnected, his is a performance that is every bit as mysterious as Oscar Isaac's. So what's the appeal of this and any other Paul Schrader movie? In a word, quality. quality. With both characters expertly constricted by a past that William would rather suffocate, you never know exactly where the film is going or what you will discover once you get there. And that's its charm. Like Robert Levin Bean's wheezing soundtrack, The Card Counter isn't a film that you can afford to regret. Easily one of the most satisfying yet underrated movies of recent times, you certainly owe yourself to hunt this movie down. Add to this a sublime performance by Tiffany Haddish as the pair's matriarchal mother figure, and you have a hand of gold that you just can't pass up. You can see The Card Counter now worldwide on Amazon and iTunes. Okay, now it's time to step back in time to medieval France in the hands of Ridley Scott and his return to mud and blood in The Last Duel. From its opening shot of a sweeping vista, The Last Duel virtually announces that you are watching a Ridley Scott epic. As soldiers fall from battlements and swords clank into muddied armour, The Last Duel is a movie that positively wants to drop you in the very heat of battle. Yet far away from the decaying corpses of victory is a far subtler story to be told. In accusing Adam Driver's Jean-Luc Rouy of rape, Jodie Comer's Marguerite is forcing her dour husband, Jean de Carrouge, as played by Matt Damon, to choose between her version of events and Jean. Who is telling the truth? And in this last documented trial by duel, is this really the best way for a man to find out if his wife is lying to him? Well, for a story rooted so deeply in French history, you might be forgiven for feeling a little dislocated. You see, with none of the cast giving the merest of wafer-thin inflections to their dialogue, The Last Duel might as well be in England's Tudor period. So whilst Ridley Scott's former sword and sandal companion Russell Crowe might take some solace in not being the only A-lister to find their accent wandering around north of Nottingham, this does nothing for a film which, at its heart, is an hour far too long in the tooth. With its clipped dialogue sitting ill upon their tongues, it is only Ben Affleck who manages to find some panache to spare as Count Pierre d'Alençon. Gleefully taunting a stodgily uncomfortable Matt Damon and a compromised Adam Driver, the movie's clearest indication rests with Jodie Comer. However, with each of the principal characters given about an hour of screen time to repeat their differing version of events, the film's sensational appeal quickly drowns in repetitive replays. Put in simple terms, what is missing here is any genuine suspense or intrigue. Whilst millennials gazing into their smartphones may yet be the death knell of cinema, as if to paraphrase Ridley Scott's defense on how and why The Last Duel was dismally dismounted at the box office, it is in fact a film that is full of unlikable characters. For a movie that centers on a sense of honor that has been wronged, the movie unfortunately misses its best opportunity for intrigue, namely as to why a woman should be seen as a possession and not as a person. Sadly, with only this merest of hands held aloft by its clothes, this glib nod becomes all too small a gesture when the movie had a far better boil to lance in the first place. Either way, if you'd like to check out The Last Duel for yourself, it's now available on Amazon Prime, iTunes, and most other online retailers. Now, in the last of our no-spoiler reviews for this month's episode, it's time to revisit a much-maligned classic, which for many fans is a William Friedkin movie that doesn't get the love that it deserves. Let's check out Sorcerer now in the definitive director's cut on Blu-ray. Once upon a time in a galaxy not so far away, a film opened that would change the course of cinema history. This is not that film. This is Sorcerer, the much-debated and derided reimagining of Le Salaire de la Peur by Exorcist director William Friedkin. Guilty of opening at the same time as the little-known sci-fi fantasy called Star Wars, Sorcerer all but killed off Friedkin's career and a whole tranche of visceral risk-taking with it. Deliberately opening with a series of fractured introductions, this is a film that doesn't invite easy interpretation. Washing the screen with brutal imagery from its very outset, the ragged editing here borders on the documentarian as it searches out its four key protagonists. Nilo the assassin, Kasim the marked Palestinian, Victor the French fraudster, and Jackie the American gangster, all of whom need to disappear fast, and Porvenir Colombia is their shared destination. Equally squalid and wretched, life in Porvenir is seriously cheap. Yet for four men, the prospect of driving explosives across country might just be their road to salvation. This is because from a land and a time long before digital effects, movies had to be real, and Sorcerer revels in this by punishing its players. The storms are real, the people are real, and the desperation etched onto every frame really saps you of all energy. Like an American version of Werner Herzog Fitzcarraldo, Sorcerer is both an artistic and a literal folly. As Roy Scheider's Jackie comes apart at the seams, Bruno Kreischer's Victor bides his time, and Francisco Rabal needles Amidoula's Kasim, you hardly need any sweltering glycerine to push them all over the edge. Yet whilst the film's 200-mile journey and subsequent conclusion doesn't make the greatest of sense, Sorcerer's power to live on in your memory lies completely in its unique imagery. Gleefully jumping into that same canon of movies that will force you to take a shower afterwards, such as The Dirt and The Rancor, you can see all the reasons why in this beautifully restored Blu-ray release. With vivid colours and contrast that you only get with movies shot on actual celluloid, every green and brown pixel here drips with a sticky jungle-like humidity that you can't easily shake off. In the end, rising triumphantly from the swamp of mediocrity that sought to drown it, Sorcerer is both a triumph and a warning. Genuinely boasting some of the tensest scenes ever committed to film, Friedkin not only drains every frame of tension, but very nearly kills himself in the process. And it really doesn't come any more high wire than that. And so, that wraps it up for this episode. To do a quick recap, we reviewed Lady Gaga and Adam Driver in House of Gucci, Oscar Isaacs in The Card Counter, Matt Damon and Adam Driver slugging it out in The Last Duel, and the director's cut Blu-ray of William Friedkin's lost classic, Sorcerer. So if you like what you heard and you fancy having some more no-spoiler reviews delivered to your favourite listening device, then please consider subscribing. Please tell your friends, your family, and anyone else you know who loves movies. Please hit the bell, smash the like, and share the podcasts. It really does make a difference, and we do appreciate your support. That said, if there's a recent movie that you've missed or haven't heard us cover, then why not download some of our previous podcasts or drop us a line at info@nospoilerreviews.com so we can include it in an upcoming episode. Until then, please keep safe, take all reasonable precautions, and I wish you all the very best for a spoiler-free time. Look forward to seeing you on January the 14th. All the best, and a Merry Christmas to you all.